This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We'd like to welcome Cass Ingram to the Health First radio show today. He's been on many times as an author, a wilderness doctor, nutrition physician. And I would just like to know how you're doing, Cass, and what's going on in 2020 for you.
Well, I don't know. I just have five books in my actually about six books in my computer that I pretty well completed. So I guess 2020 is the book of the publication.
And what have you been writing?
Just fun.
Fun? What kind of topics are in those books now?
Well, I just, you know, the health benefits of wild oregano. These are the mini books, pocket books. The health benefits of black seed oil, health benefits of wild raw honey, health benefits of wild raw chaga.
Oh, wow. And with that storehouse of nutritional benefits, how can that help us right now while everybody's under a little extra stress and there's been a lot of things put on us in the outside world? When we, you know, we go downtown, there's always that reminder of like, wow, what's all this stuff going on?
Which natural medicine?
Well, what about chaga? What would chaga, how would that be of benefit to us in this day-to-day stressful life?
The immune system, right?
The immune system, yeah.
Yeah, and just keep the sentinels, the white cells, and the antibodies flowing in a nice way. Mm-hmm. The first book, The Health Benefits of Wild Oregano. Oregano is the king of germicides. So mm-hmm. That's going to attack anything like a virus, a bacteria, a parasite, a fungus, whatever you want to attack, it shuts it down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the honey is an antiseptic and just a tremendous thing for overall health, the wild raw kind or the kind that they don't feed the bees sugar. That's the specification.
Okay.
And the black seed oil is also an immune potentiator, and it's a bronchodilator. It helps with the cardiovascular health. So you've got a lot of different stuff all at once going on there.
Mm-hmm.
For the yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So you can put it together as a whole package to help with the immune system and just our ability to handle the stress of this 2020?
Yeah, it's a little different. I did the scientific study on COVID-19 victims, right?
Right. And what
and
did you learn?
Also in nurses who were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of experience with this, and I've written this book, which I've completed and is a kind of a hot seller for whatever it's worth, is the COVID-19 Remedy, The Real Truth Revealed.
Right. And so what did you find? What was your perception after all the studying and all the everything you went through to draw your information together?
Well, what I went through is basically that I've done the research since 2003 on SARS.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big expert on this situation. When it happened, I just did some more research. The original research was the human coronavirus, influenza A, and I didn't even need to do the research. I already know what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also bird flu. Oregano oil, the wild kind, the really wild kind, obliterates this stuff. You know, it
in a petri dish or in a human?
What's that?
In a petri dish or in a human?
This is in vitro.
Okay.
Now remember, this is in cell culture. It's not in humans. We're
right?
not saying it's a
yeah,
cure.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying. You got to know the data. So
right.
Remember, cell culture is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good preliminary, and we tested it against the bird flu, which is 50% fatal in humans.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
And it killed it. Now, it took 25 times more of the wild oregano oil to kill bird flu than regular flu.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the data we have, and it's extremely good information, but it has been suppressed. So
and
that I wrote
Cass,
the book.
Why do you think there's been so much suppression of this kind of news?
You know, Canada got hit by Health Canada on this. There's pharmaceutical lobbyists and, you know, vested interests. Because what? Who cares? Nobody's going to not go to their doctor if they're ill. You got enough common sense that if you couldn't breathe, you'd go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just something natural that a person could learn about, and they don't want anybody to learn about it. I don't know.
From your study, when you look at SARS, you look at the bird flu, you look at corona, what are the similarities, or is it all one?
Okay, farmed animals is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what happened in your Alberta slaughterhouse.
Okay.
Okay, so you have the farmed animal problem where they vaccinate those animals heavily, mm-hmm. and the vaccine virus gets into the feces, it gets into the blood, it gets into the soup, and they're going around digging bats out of a cave and swabbing the anus and growing the stuff, bat coronavirus. They grew it at the Wuhan lab, and they do all this vaccination and all this dumb, stupid stuff. And it gets out of the box. That's what happened with H1N1. That's what happened in 1918. That's what happened in 1956. And that's what happened in 1976 with the swine flu. That's the common thread in all this, is man-made nonsense. So you have these germs. They're not that powerful.
And
so natural medicines will obliterate them categorically, but nobody wants to talk about it. You know what you never hear? Hey! Why don't we have people support their immune system all year long till January,
right,
so that they don't drop dead from COVID-19 or something?
Why is that not the first news out about, you know, besides wash your hands, you know, drink a liter or two of water, get 8 hours sleep? What else can you do to actually maintain and create that healthy immune system?
Right, and to avoid the sugar and the pork and the acidic foods. You never heard a word, did you?
Well,
I don't. You know, the why would be, for the last 100 years, we never heard a word.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
obviously some people have power to prevent those words from being circulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be in the old days, if you had a problem, you could go to the woods and find something, or bark, or
right.
grass,
and
or like a horse.
That's what you've been doing throughout your practices, that, you know, the wild spice, the oregano, the chaga. You've written a book on honey now. What is the magic of honey, and how often should we eat it? What kind of, like, certainly unpasteurized and only from bees that have just gone to the flowers and to make their own honey. What else could we learn from honey?
Well, honey is really a God thing, where the bees are visiting every kind of plant and they bring that stuff back, and we don't know what it's doing, but it's a fantastic sore throat, congestion, diarrhea, immune system. And you can go to the website oreganol.com and take a look at honeys where they never feed the bee sugar. That's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever. No corn syrup. Those are going to be immune potentiating honeys. Those are going to be different than the honey we buy. Even we buy raw honey, even we buy Manuka, it's all bees fed sugar. So if you want to go a little higher level, you go there. But now, health food stores also, the oregano oil is a killer. Honey kills germs in the petri dish and even in the digestive tract. Oregano spray with clove bud called Orega Spray kills germs. You can dilute that bottle 50 to 1, Canadians, and still effective against the germs. So what you really need are germ killers, garlic, onion, you know, because it's winter. We don't know what we're going to get. We can't afford to be somebody stick us in quarantine. You know, we make $12 an hour. We got to survive. Whatever. You don't want to take a chance on just some vitamin C or some multiple vitamin. You want to be able to have something in your hands that you could use to kill. Let's say you get a sore throat, you get a dry cough,
mm-hmm.
you get a congestion. Right now, you have to know what to take before you end up with double pneumonia in a hospital on a respirator with a 90% chance of dying. That's some pretty sound advice.
Yeah. And so your first line treatments with that would be the oil of oregano and the honey to soothe it?
I would say your first line is to have the oil of wild oregano and the wild oregano spray. That's one and two. Then your raw honey would be number three. And number four would maybe be your black seed oil.
Tell me about black seed oil. It's not that well known.
Well, it's a bronchodilator. It's a cardiotonic. It helps naturally normal blood clotting. It's excellent for the skin. It was Nefertiti's beauty secret.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for psoriasis and eczema, too, for vitiligo. It's excellent for the bronchial tract and anti-asthmatic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for the kidneys. It tends to help prevent the kidneys from breaking down. It's good for the digestion, and it's anti-parasitic. And the Prophet Muhammad said it cures everything but death. That's about right. If you're on your deathbed, forget
yeah.
it.
Well, there's some things we can't avoid, right? Where does black seed grow? Is there only certain countries? Like, I don't see it growing in Canada.
At India and all that, you know, the pod of the flower, the pod, everything turns black
mm-hmm.
from high amount of melanin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your chaga is good. Your chaga, there's lots of wild chag in Canada. I like the Chago Power Drops because those are raw, and those are the best ones for skin disorders. That's a whole other show is chaga. I mean, that's
right.
Immensely valuable. Look how popular. I started that chaga revolution with my book, The Cures in the Forest, and started talking about the radio. Now look how popular it is.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what chaga looks like in the forest and how you process it when you find it out there in the trees.
Kind of a naughty, funny outpouching from the bark, the bark. And it's only going to be in certain areas, birch trees. So, and then you got a situation where it's got to be certain age. You don't want to pick the young ones. You want the good mature. It's an interesting thing. But it's high in enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
The enzymes help with the healing of skin tissue. The enzymes for the cardiac, like cardiac tonic, kidney tonic, skin tonic, respiratory tonic. The enzymes are big. But if you heat it, you know, if you heat that, make a chaga tea, you kill the enzymes. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't leave it on your wood stove and just let it simmer?
Well, you know what? Here's what you do. Let's say you have some chaga.
Mm-hmm.
You only do this. You bring your temperature to 160 degrees, and you throw it in there, and you don't do nothing else. You just let it sit. You can't boil it. If you boil it, you're going to kill the enzymes. You want those enzymes.
Is that Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Huh?
Their temperature on your chaga, is that Fahrenheit or Celsius? Like when you heat the water up or you allow the chaga to sit in water for a drink?
140 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
150. And it's going to be like a lukewarm chaga, and let it sit for 4 or 5 days if you've got some chaga chunks or you've got some...
Until it's really black tea. Like coffee.
Yeah. And then you can reheat it, but don't boil it because... No, there's still good stuff in chaga if you boil it. But
you lose the enzymes.
You lose them all.
Okay.
So there's three kinds. There's the freeze-dried, that's kind of common. There's the raw... Chaga Max capsules, for instance, mm-hmm. Chaga Power Drops, which is a specialist product. And then there's your tea. Either you make your own tea or you can buy it, and you can make the tea, you still benefit. But I found the raw to be the best.
Okay. Why does the chaga grow on the tree? What benefit does it do for the tree?
On the inside of the tree, right in the middle.
But why does chaga, like it's a fungus, right? And it grows on trees. Why does it start growing on the tree in the first place?
Right. It doesn't smell like a fungus. It doesn't taste like one. It doesn't even look like one. And it's hard like a rock. So it just kind of pouches out and it sucks the life out of the birch tree. And eventually the birch tree will die with it. But then that's good. The birch tree is feeding the chaga. It's like, okay, God's showing you. I got this funny-looking thing on the chaga. It's for you guys to take and use as a medicine. So you have people now all over Canada that are chopping it off and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blessing. Because
mm-hmm.
psoriasis, vitiligo, eczema, for cardiac arrhythmia. I'm an expert on the chaga, what to use it for, and what form to use it.
Not on harvesting.
I have to have raw or freeze-dried.
Okay.
But my point is, I know what to use it for. Nobody does.
All righty. Cass, we're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about building immunity in 2020.